So tell me about EFT and brainwaves.
Okay, this goes back to, I think, 2007. And Gary Craig was doing a workshop in Boston, and he said that he was going to have live brainwave monitoring of EFT. And I thought, well, that sounds really good. I need to see that. I need to get over there. So I went over to Boston, and Gary had these folks, Donna Bark and Gary Grosbeck, who were doing this live brainwave monitoring of people doing EFT. Now, the whole thing was very confusing for folks because Gary was basically just doing EFT, and he didn't really, I don't think he really understood the brainwave stuff, and he didn't really give much explanation, and he didn't give Donna or Gary any time to give explanation. So most of the audience just thought it was flashing lights, and they were just sort of in love with Gary doing EFT. And I thought, I was watching these flashing lights, and I thought, this is really interesting. I need to find more about this. So when I got back over here, I called Donna Bark and Gary Grosbeck and said, hey, would you two like to come over to England? And we will do a whole weekend with your equipment and with us folks doing EFT, and we'll really explore this and find out what's happening with EFT when we look at people's brainwaves. So they came over, and in April 2008, we did a whole weekend conference, and we called it Exploring Consciousness with EFT. And it was fascinating because we tried all sorts of ways of using EFT and watching people's brainwaves before, during, and after we were doing that. And I learned a huge amount from that weekend. The first thing we did was we just did straight classic EFT. Now, when you do this, the brainwave monitoring equipment they use, it's called the Mind Mirror, and it's an EEG system that was designed by a British biophysicist by the name of Max Cade. Now, he wrote a book called The Awakened Mind.
Yeah, it's for some people who are technically minded, it is a brainwave spectrum frequency analyzer for both.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it does. It splits the brainwaves into frequencies, frequency bands, and then what you see on the screen, the person who's been measured, they wear a headband with sensors around it, and that's connected to the mind mirror electronics, which is connected to a computer, which is connected to a big screen so everyone can see it. And what you see are different bands. They are arbitrarily put into these ranges, and the ranges are to do with, it's best to understand them through function. The four bands are the highest frequency, which are, and for folks who are not technically minded, when we talk about frequency, we mean the number of times per second. So the number of peaks in a wave in 1 second. So the high frequency ranges are 20 hertz and above. That's 20 times beating, 20 times a second and above. And that is the brainwaves of thinking. And it may be problem-solving thinking, analytical thinking, or the faster ones are that kind of worry thinking, that sort of monkey mind worry thinking. Then the next band down, these are called the alpha waves. And this is what you get when you close your eyes and you use your imagination. So if I ask folks to close their eyes and imagine that they're walking through a meadow by a river on a summer day, they will start to show alpha waves. Alpha waves are very sensory, what we see, hear, touch. So they're the next slower band. And then they're from about 18 down to 12 hertz, I think. So that's numbers, beats, peaks per second. Then slower than that you get the theta or theta waves for you Americans. And this is
I think
the,
octave goes from 8 to 12.
Okay.
Theta is below 8.
Wait, yeah, theta is the next lower band. And these are, the what you're seeing here is emotion. Now, you're not knowing what sort of emotion. Could be anger, could be fear, could be sadness. But it is, it's the emotional stuff. When we sometimes, you know, you just get a wave of emotion. That's a theta flare. The theta waves tend to be...
Did that show up when people tuned into their issue?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Cool.
Tend to be very quiet, and then they flare up when people contact a memory from the past or an emotion, and then slower than the theta waves, the very slow waves, and these are 1 times per second or even 1 per 2 seconds. These are what's called the delta waves, very slow. And the delta waves are slow and they're also mysterious. Scientists who've done research with brain waves say that delta waves are only seen in deep sleep because the folks that they, whose brainwaves they measured in laboratories, the only times that they would go into a delta state would be in deep sleep, because the other times we see the delta state are in any form of where we are, where our minds are beyond our bodies, where we're connected to that which is more than us. So you would see delta states in prayer, in meditation, in healing, in psychic experiences, in the sort of things, you know, people like, you know, remote viewing, all of those sorts
like,
of...
Like dowsing. I've did some research on dowsing in brainwaves. Really good dowsers apparently have all four going at the same time, delta, theta, alpha, and beta.
We all have all of these going at the same time. We all do. And, you know, people say, oh, I'm very, you know, I was in an alpha state. It's never that you're just in one of them. Dowsers would have very strong delta waves. Usually the delta waves are not seen much. You know, in our normal waking consciousness, going about our business, we see a lot of the the very fast ones. We'll see some alpha, the occasional flare of the theta, but very little delta. Now, if we get on to what we see when people are doing EFT, first of all, as they start to get into the tapping, we see the alpha growing. Then we will see flares of the theta as emotions come up, but we start to see building a very strong base of the delta. Now, what we did in this whole weekend where we experimented, we started off doing just regular EFT. And I worked on stage with a woman who had been in a car wreck. Someone had smashed into her. She was in the outside lane, the fast lane of a multi-lane highway, and someone had pulled out, not seeing her, smashed into her. She'd hit the central reservation. She'd skidded across the right way across the road and back again and ended up in the center, in the fast lane, with her car stopped and facing in the wrong direction. And this was in the morning rush hour and all these vehicles coming towards her at 70 miles an hour. That's what she'd been through. And when the police arrived, she was standing by the car. They hadn't seen her. They'd seen the car. And she heard the policeman say, well, that driver's a goner. Better call the morgue. And she was standing there. She was alive. Nothing hit her. And this was about 3 months after the accident. And she'd done a lot to help herself. She's a therapist. She knew various techniques, trauma clearing techniques. And she was okay. She could drive again herself, but she could not be a passenger with anybody else. And she wasn't sleeping. And she had, what she hadn't told me that day was she had a terrible pain, constant pain in her ribs. And she came up on stage. And when we first hooked up the brainwaves, you saw in all the ranges, a very high amplitude, and particularly in the the beta range, the kind of the worry thinking. And Donna Bach, Dr. Donna Bach, who was interpreting the brain waves for the audience, she said, you know, this is a high anxiety pattern. So then we started doing EFT, and we did the classic EFT movie technique, going through what happened scene by scene, tapping with what she saw, what she heard. And as we worked our way through all the various aspects of what had happened, the brain waves started to calm down. First of all, the whole amplitude decreased. Second, there was greater symmetry between the two sides, because you see the brain waves of the right side and the left side of the brain. And third, there was a more balanced pattern. So the fast beta worry waves, they lessened in amplitude, and then the alpha and theta increased. Now, as we were working, you could see a strong delta wave, the deep spiritual psi waves. And
you mean that was increasing?
That was increasing whilst we were doing EFT. That was very strong. So afterwards, we did all the EFT, and then got her to talk about the accident. We also to think about driving, and there wasn't the increase in amplitude and the imbalance. Her brainwaves stayed calm. And then at the break, I said to her, hey, my car's just parked outside. Do you want to just come out with me? And she came out with me, and we got in my car, and I got in the driving seat, and she sat next to me, and I said, how are you doing? Fine. Well, I started the engine. She was fine. We drove a couple of miles around the whole area. And at one point, somebody made a wrong turn in front of us, and I had to brake fast, and she was fine.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
You manifested a lovely test.
Yeah, that was a really good test. So then we went back to the conference, and we tried all sorts of things. One of the things we tried monitoring, doing the touch and breathe technique, where you just touch the points and breathe rather than tapping. We got the same results, or we saw the same sort of shifts in the brainwave patterns.
With somebody else?
Yeah, we did surrogate tapping, where we had the person just sit there and they didn't tap, and the whole audience tapped for them, and we got the same changes. And then the next day, on the Sunday, we hooked up the practitioner as well as the client. I was the first practitioner to be hooked up. And now this was the fascinating thing for me, because I wasn't seeing my brainwaves. I was just focusing on the person I was working with. The screen was behind me. And then we paused, and Donna said, do you know, we are seeing in your brainwaves really, really strong delta. Yeah? So both of us, both client and practitioner, were showing this really strong delta wave as we were tapping.
Okay, but only while you were tapping it.
I remember what Donna said to me. We paused, and she looked up at me, and she said, you don't know what you're doing. And I went, hey? She said, you don't know what you're doing. When you're working with EFT, the main activity is in the lower frequencies. It's in the delta and the theta. There's some alpha, but there is hardly any of the beta, the thinking mind. And that was that's my experience, because when I'm working with someone with EFT, it's like it's coming through me. I'm not thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a student or someone in the audience will say, you know, why did you do that? Why did you say that? And I go, well, I don't know.
Yeah. Now, my question is, that you skipped past, when they hooked you up with the equipment, did you have a lot of delta before you started working with the client?
No, the delta increased as we were working.
Right.
Yeah?
Yep.
So then the next thing that we did was that my friend Linda makes the Mr. Magic tapping buttons bears. Linda did a demonstration with someone where they were tapping on bears, not on themselves. And we saw, essentially, the mirror neuron effect in these brainwave patterns because we got the same results. And so we had this whole weekend of exploration. And what I learned is that, first of all, EFT calms your mind, calms your brain. Second is that there is something really special happening with these deeper frequencies, with the sort of the spiritual psychic realm when we're doing EFT. That EFT connects us all at that level. And third is that EFT works best when we don't think about it too much.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's pretty cool. I really love this. This is great information. Fills in little gaps for me.
It was a marvelous, marvelous conference. It was filmed. We filmed the whole thing. However, we've never edited it because we ran out of budget. We managed to get it filmed, so it's in the can. So one day, someone might come up with the money for us to edit this. Everyone will be able to see it. But then that was how I got started with understanding about the effects of brainwaves. And it really has informed what I do since then. I found it so valuable because I've realized that it's helped me to get myself out of the way. It's helped me. Someone said we ran a big conference just a couple of weeks ago, the EFT Masterclass. And someone said to me, "You're so without ego doing this." And I went, "Oh, am I?" And then I realized that is what shows about how I learned to respect the delta waves and learned to respect that I don't have to think this out. I don't have to do anything. It's the tapping that does the work.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And also I learned the importance of, I mean, I became good friends with Donna Bark and Gary Grosbeck, and I went to visit them. They run an excellent series of workshops for anyone who wants to understand this more. I talked about Max Cade, who came up with the mind mirror technology. He was a British biophysicist. Well, he had a student protege called Anna Wise, an American. And Anna, who unfortunately she passed last year, I think, she brought this all back to America. And Donna Bark and Gary were her students. And they helped her, they helped co-facilitate her workshops at Esalen, and so they really have kind of taken on the baton from Anna. And I went and stayed with them, and we kind of talked more about, you know, because they are experts on the whole brainwave technology and me on EFT, and we talked a lot. We kind of sort of lay in the hot tub under the stars. They live in Sonora, California, and we just talked and talked about this, and we realized the significance of the alpha, and we realized what that means to EFT, because it's the sensory level, the alpha level, that opens up the connection between the thinking mind and the deeper brain waves. You might say it's like between the conscious and the subconscious and the unconscious, and that the alpha is the bridge between the two. And this has really informed my teaching of EFT, because we need to create that bridge, we need to use very alpha type language. And that is not the language of the thinking mind. It's not the language of rational, analytical thought. It is very much the language of the senses. So it's what you see, it's what you hear, it's what you touch, taste, smell. It's not what it means. And I found that when I get to that level of the sensory level, then we really get the deeper emotions coming through. To give an example of that, I was working with a woman who said, "My husband betrayed me." Now, many people might have started tapping with, even though my husband betrayed me. But I've learned to keep asking questions till I can picture something. Now, my husband betrayed me. That could be many, many things, couldn't it?
Yep.
Yeah? Well, so I asked her, what was the moment, the exact moment when you knew that? She said, I picked up his phone and I saw a text and I read it. Now, I can picture that. I can see the phone. I can see the text. I can guess at the words. Yeah? So so we didn't tap with even though my husband betrayed me. We tapped with even though I saw those words on his phone. Even though I was just walking through the kitchen and I picked up his phone.
But how did she feel about what she did, what she saw?
I don't mind how she felt. I'm not, you know, just because it's called emotional freedom techniques, we don't want to go tapping on emotions. The emotion is the response to what she saw. So tap with what she saw and the response will change.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, I don't bother with emotions at all. Because that's the other thing I learned from the brainwaves. The theta isn't specific. It is there and it is a response to something. And when we tap with the sensory stuff, it brings up the emotion. Once we get into name emotions, people have to go into their analytical mind. If you ask someone, how do you feel? They have to think to give it words. I don't want them to give it words.
Okay.
Yeah. Once you give it words, you start getting into the beta.
Interesting. I'll have to think about that.
So this is the way I teach it and the way I do it. I focus on, so with that woman, I focus on, you know, even though I was just walking through the kitchen, I picked up his phone, I read that message, and she might say, and my heart dropped, I stood frozen. Yeah? But I want feelings in terms of what the body does, feelings in terms of that kinesthetic body sensation, you know, a hole in my heart, my tummy went liquid, a lump in my throat. Yeah?
Okay.
Not once we start giving intellectual words to feelings like even just like sad or remorse or guilt or, you know, this takes us into, because what you call feelings are how the thinking mind labels experience in the body.
Okay.
Yeah? Emotion, feeling, is actually in the body. It's not in the head. I've learned that the head is, well, you've probably heard of Milton Erickson, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah? I have a quote of his that I love. Milton Erickson said, the only function of the conscious mind in therapy is to write the check. Yeah, so, you know, as long as we need the conscious mind on board, it has to write the check. But apart from that, don't need to bother with it.
Yeah.
So, and also I find if you ask people, how do you feel? 50% of the population will just go, dunno, because they can't think and feel at the same time. They'll just go, dunno. Or shit, or something like that. The other 50% of the population, you say, how do you feel? And they'll go on and on and on and on and on, kind of verbal diarrhea, and you'll end up with loads of words and nothing to chat with.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so I never say, how do you feel?
Okay.
Yeah. So we tap with, I learned to tap with, and particularly to get into the moment of something. Because what can happen if you tap with general things or the meaning of things? Like with that woman, if I tapped with, my husband betrayed me, she would have calmed down a lot. Any tapping is good tapping. Any tapping is going to calm a person down. However, it may not have cleaned up all the details.
Sure. We're off the subject of mirror. A bit, so.
Okay, bring me back to the subject. Ask the question.
Well, you're just saying something about this woman that you're working with that picked up her husband's phone.
Okay, what I'm saying is if we tapped with a generality, then she would feel calmer. She would probably say it didn't bother her in the same way. However, she might then walk through the kitchen, see an iPhone on the table, and get triggered.
Yep.
Or just suddenly find herself angry for no reason whatsoever. Because we haven't cleaned up the details.
Right.
So one of the things I learned from this is the importance of the details. And the importance of the sensory details. And the importance of really cleaning those up. I also learned just to trust the process, to trust the tapping, to not try and be a clever dick, to not try and show off with clever reframes or clever techniques or to try and work out what to do, just to trust the tapping to do the work and trust that the tapping opens up the delta, which brings through for both of us that connection to what is beyond.
Cool.
Yeah, absolutely cool. I'm so glad I took that flight to Boston.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm really enjoying this. One of the things you mentioned was that the brain waves after the tapping tended to, what Anna Wise called the awakened mind pattern.
We would see flashes of the awakened mind pattern. Yeah, definitely. But the brainwaves after the tapping weren't so much the awakened mind pattern, which is what a person gets. That's the pattern when a person is really in the zone. But it was just like a normal, healthy, everyday brainwaves. A bit of everything, and calm, symmetrical. Whereas before, if I go back to the woman who had been in the car wreck, before, it was really unbalanced, high amplitude, whizzing all over the place, and a lot of the worry, the kind of monkey mind worry thoughts. After the tapping, the whole thing was calmer, more balanced, and a more healthy spread between the different ranges.
Okay. Well, that is a little bit toward the awakened mind pattern.
Towards the awakened mind, and there were flashes of the awakened mind as well.
Yeah. My thought is that what if we just cleaned up everything we possibly could? Like, for instance, a group of EFT practitioners got together and worked with each other and cleaned up everything they could. Would they really tend strongly toward the awakened mind pattern?
I think the awakened mind pattern depends on what you're doing. It's not... Now, this is me getting beyond what I'm not really an expert on the brainwave stuff. I think you would want to talk to Gary and Donna about that. But I think that, you know, the awakened mind pattern, you see that in people when they are doing what they love. You know, you see that in a violinist performing, in a rock climber on the crag, in a cook as she takes that perfect souffle out of the oven. So it is not, it's not so much a passive thing. Though actually we did this whole EFT and brainwaves conference, and then the following day Gary and Donna did their awakened mind workshop where everybody gets a chance to have their brainwaves measured. And there was one lady in the group who was a retired professor of astronomy, who I think had made significant contributions to the plasma physics of stars and such like, a very, very eminent astronomer. And Donna and Gary measured her brainwaves, and they said, she's in the awakened mind state all the time. All the time. This was a woman who had spent her whole life doing what she loved, astronomy, mathematics, and she was just there in that awakened mind state all the time. But most people are not. I think what we're doing with EFT, put it beautifully. She said, I am tapping away what I am not and revealing what I am.
Oh, nice. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I think we all come into this life like a diamond, a beautiful, sparkly, unique diamond, and then we just get covered in dirt. Well, that diamond is still there under the dirt, and what we're doing with EFT is we're just cleaning off the dirt.
Mm-hmm.
Letting the diamond show, but the diamond is for something. You know, we are not, we're not designed to sit sort of passively in, you know, a sort of awakened mind state of nirvana. We're designed to do things, and we're designed to do what we love, whether we love, what we love is gardening, rock climbing, painting, business, mathematics, whatever, EFT, whatever.
I find that when you do something that you love, it expands. And pretty soon you're connecting with something that you didn't have an interest in before because it connected with something you love. I did that with my reading in my early 20s. I eventually, you know, spanned almost everything in the library because I started off with something I loved. And it just expanded and expanded and expanded.
Yeah, doing something you love is like this process of exploration. And one thing leads you to another. And yeah, it's wonderful to be doing something you love. And what stops us doing what we love is all that dirt on the diamond.
Yeah. Did you, read anything of Anna Wise? Like, did you read her book, High Performance Mind?
Yeah. I dipped in and out of Anna's book. I read the whole of Max Cade's book. Yeah, and I found it that was one of those times for me, you know, of doing something you love when it leads you to something new. And I learned a great deal from not just reading their books, but also I've done Donna and Gary's workshop twice. And I'd recommend anyone to look them up. I think it's, if you Google Donna Bark, you probably find her. Or I think it's it's awakenedminds.com is their site, I think.
Yeah, it's BACH, right?
Yeah, BACH. Donna Bark, MD, she's a naturopathic doctor. And Gary Grosbeck, Groesbeck. And they're in Sonora, California, and they will, if a group of folks want them to run this workshop and can get enough people together, then Donna and Gary will travel.
Cool.
And they're lovely people, and they are, you know, they are the kind of heirs. They've taken on the baton of this work, and they really understand it. So anyone who, you know, you can only get so much listening to someone talk about it. The experience is so much more. And I know there's all these things that, like sort of Holosync and these things which have the binaural beats that kind of, those things are sort of almost like they're making your brain follow the pattern of the beats. They're training, it's an external kind of trainer. Whereas what Garrick and Donna teach is how to naturally, using your own imagination and thinking, using your own mind, to bring yourself into these states. They do guided meditations which allow you to experience the different states. And I think that's much more natural and much more powerful than having yourself put into, like, the training wheels of an external set pattern.
Yeah. Well, you know what I think is that if you get rid of those traumas in your soul, what Gary and Donna are doing becomes even much easier and more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Of all those little... Yeah. Boulders in your road.
Yeah. You can think of them as boulders, or another way to think of them is, you know, the shamanic way of bits of you that have got lost somewhere.
Yeah.
Soul parts that have got stuck in time or space. And I think as we clear the traumas, those soul parts come back.
Yeah.
We reintegrate. So, you know, it's like we're cleaning the dirt off a diamond, and as we do, the diamond becomes more complete.
Yeah, well, more visible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you read about the one woman that went into meditation and Anna had the mind mirror on her and she saw the most unusual pattern she'd ever seen at the time of the writing of the book, at least?
I don't think that's... Well, was that the what they call the bliss ball?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Just the brain seemed to be totally turned on And Anna was sitting there, this happy. She was watching the gal, and she wanted to know what was going on, and she didn't want to disturb her. And finally, you know, it started going away, and she asked her, and got a very slow response. You know, she said, "What's going on?" And the woman says, finally, after, I don't know, 30 seconds or so, bliss.
And that, it's bliss. Like there's a lot of this beta state and the alpha state, and almost no beta. No thinking, and there's just a little of the delta state. So it's like somebody is in their own private world of private emotional world of bliss. And I had a brief experience of that, you know, because I've had Donna and Gary monitor my brainwaves a lot, and I was wondering when I was just lying on the floor, and they got me hooked up on something, and I was just almost like in a dream state of where, you know, like those moving walkways they have at airports.
Mm-hmm.
I was on a moving walkway through the universe, through, you know, through the galaxy, through stars. I was naked on this moving walkway with holding hands with somebody and just gliding through the galaxies and the universe. And at that moment, Donna said, "Oh, you're showing the bliss ball state."
That's probably why you're effective at what you do.
Well, these brainwave states are very elusive. They come and go. You know, when you see it done, as we did at this conference, people need a lot of explanation to get their eye in, to understand what they're seeing. It comes and goes very quickly. We can be just very instantaneously in one space and then another. It's constantly moving.
Yeah, right.
Hmm.
But we tend for certain patterns.
Yeah. In a way, what they're saying is that once you learn a pattern and you learn how to get there, when you learn it and you can just sort of capture the experience and capture the route to get there.
Mm.
Like, I wonder if I were to sort of lie on the floor now and just start to piece together that moving walkway through the universe, whether I could get myself back to that state. So that's the difference between what they're teaching and the holosync sort of stuff. The holosync sort of stuff is that you listen to this stuff and it kind of externally puts your brain into a kind of one-size-fits-all programmed version of that state, whereas what they're doing is teaching you how to access it in your own way.
Yeah, well, I'm kind of a little skeptical of what I've researched. I've done a lot of looking into the holosync and hemisync and so on and so forth. And my impression is that it isn't quite as powerful as they're making it out to be.
That wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, they're making it out to be, you know, like the answer to everything. And when I read their stuff, my hype monitor was flashing.
Yeah, there you go. Yep, exactly. For instance, I did lots and lots of experiments on creating my own binaural beats. And I have this computer program that does psychic feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the times that I got the most powerful result was when I was listening on a cassette tape player. And I created a binaural beat, and then within about a minute, the batteries were going dead, and I heard. I had no idea what was going on with the frequencies. The battery was going dead, so it was a lower frequency than I had created. I had no way of recreating it that I could find, even though I tried lots of different experiments.
Well, those lower frequencies, that would be the delta stuff.
Yeah, but see, it wasn't super low. I was working for theta. I was trying to do a 7 frequency or something like that. And I was listening to that and doing the psychic feedback. And, you know, most of the time I was getting no results. And that time I got a pretty spectacular result. And then within about 30 seconds or so, maybe a minute, I noticed the tape just rattled, was running out so that... if frequencies had changed. So, this, you know, it sometimes can work, but usually I found great difficulty making it work for anything in terms of getting into the brainwave pattern of being psychic, for instance.
But what I would say is if you're using EFT skillfully, and to use it skillfully, I think people do need training, and they need training from a good trainer who really understands it. Because EFT is such a simple thing. There's many people who've just downloaded the manual off the internet and they think that's it, and you know,
they start off and they try working on their own biggest problem, and after a few hours or a few days say it doesn't work. Yes.
Or even worse, they try working on somebody else's biggest problem. EFT is a simple tool, but as with any simple tool, there is a real skill and a craft and an art to using it well. And that needs practice. And what I've learned from this brainwave stuff is just the importance of what Gary Craig always said, of being specific, of aspects, of attending to physical body sensation, of getting out of your own way. You know, the brainwave stuff really confirmed to me everything that Gary taught. And a lot of people didn't really listen to what Gary taught. They just sort of got the thing and went off and used it. And so, you know, you look on all this stuff on the internet, there's a lot of very sloppy tapping out there. But hey, it still works most of the time. If you want to work it all of the time, then you need skill. That's what,
You know, one possibility is that after you've done some tapping with other people, your brainwaves start to change.
Yeah.
So that, you know, when you first tap, you're much less likely to be successful than if you've done a lot of tapping and your brainwaves have adjusted themselves to be the best brainwaves for helping people.
Well, we could also talk about morphic resonance here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's certainly going on. Yeah, I know. You know, I've been doing EFT for more than 10 years now, and it just gets easier. But then anything that you do a lot and you really, really practice and you really work at gets easier. And also it gets easier for me to get myself out of the way and to not think about it and to not try and do it and to just trust the tapping and to let it happen, and it does. Yeah.
So what else can be gotten out of understanding brainwaves and EFT?
I think the whole surrogate tapping thing, you know, people try and come up with scientific explanations for EFT and they say, oh, it's the piezoelectric effect or whatever, or and I've heard all of these explanations and I go, oh yeah, so how come when I tap for somebody's dog that's 300 miles away, somebody's dog that won't get in the car, it does? You know, surrogate tapping, whatever you go on with piezoelectric effects or something, it's not going to explain that. And this is where the whole delta stuff comes in. Because when we are in the delta state, we are connected to all that is. We are connected to that which is beyond our physical state. And so, this would get me into kind of William Tiller's work, what we're actually doing when we're tapping and what we're actually doing with surrogate tapping. But essentially, not to want to get into that because it is late here.
Yep.
There's
a lot of potential and greater understanding with monitoring brainwaves and EFT.
Yes, that's what it comes down to. I learned a lot, and I learned a lot that informs how I use EFT and how I teach EFT, and I am just hugely thankful and grateful that I took that flight to Boston and witnessed that and met Donna and Gary and followed up with it and read Max Cade's book and Anna Wyatt's book. And yes, I got a huge amount of it out of it. And I would encourage anyone who's interested in EFT to go that same route.
Cool. You know, what I was thinking just now was that you said, Donna said, you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I was thinking there's a very, very tiny, tiny chance that someone first starting the tapping would be in that state.
I find that people, you know, I've trained 800-900 students in EFT. I've been teaching it for a long time. I think the people who get to that state easily and quickly with EFT are those who come to it without prior therapy training, but with a lot of experience of human beings in an emotional state. Some of my best students are people like hairdressers or policemen or bartenders, people who are used to being with other folks when they're in an emotional state, but who have done no kind of therapy or therapy training. Because the folks who are the professional therapists, they can't get themselves out of the way. They can't stop analyzing and interpreting and trying to find meaning, and they are the worst students. they'll get it in a kind of pedestrian procedural way,
yeah,
but you won't really get it.
Yeah.
Somebody who has been a hairdresser for 30 years and says, you know, I left school, I didn't finish high school, I've just been cutting hair, and I love my clients, and I like to talk, and I'm just interested in this, I'm just curious. They're the ones I go, ooh, you're going to be good.
Good. That's cool. That's a really neat insight.
Yeah. I just see it over and over. And, yeah, you know, I will help the professionals to use it in their professional, procedural, pedestrian manner. I'll help them as much as I can. And some of them are open-minded enough to actually get to that state. And some of them, it not only changes their practices, but it changes their lives.
I bet you there's some issues that could be relieved in those people that would help them there.
Yes, but it would be tricky. They're difficult.
Okay. Well, this has been great, Gwyneth.
Yeah, thank you, George. You know, I like to talk. You put a quarter in the slot and turn the handle and off I go.
I can tell.
Yeah.
Okay, any last little thoughts?
No, that's it for me, because I'm looking at the clock and it is rather late here.
So.
Thank you very much.